Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have Aaron Perini from the Trump campaign. A lot of you are anxious about the direction of the campaign and the country with it. We have some answers. I ask her what the message is for 2020 and so much more. So please email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in charliekirk.com/support to your web browser. And for those of you that are monthly donors, we are going to be doing a monthly exclusive call for you at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, right now. Hit subscribe. Give us those 5-star reviews. Screenshot us while you do that. And email us at freedom@charliekirk.com and get in the running to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, the only ideas that will win the future. Buckle up, everybody. Awesome interview in store. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Super thrilled to be joined with a total American patriot, one of the people that is helping shape the president's message for the Donald J. Trump for President campaign, Aaron Perini. I think I got that right. Aaron, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, thank you for having me, and you did get it right. Marrying my husband did not make my last name easy.
Well, hopefully it made your life better and happier. I'm sure it did. I encourage all of our listeners to find happy times and get married. So this is it's an interesting time for our country right now. The Trump campaign, I believe, is the only vehicle to save Western society and Western civilization, and we are fighting for that every single day. Just give us an update. How are things going? There's a lot of fake news out there about the campaign, about the narratives. Give us an update straight from the battle station.
Yeah. Honestly, if you watch the news, you would think that things are in complete disarray over here on the campaign, but it's just not the case. We're actually full steam ahead. And one thing about the coronavirus, when it came to having to socially distance and really put forward the digital infrastructure that this campaign built for, you know, 5+ years, especially under the helm of Brad Parscale, we seamlessly were able to do that. And we're being able to connect with voters where they are all of the time. We were building that infrastructure and we were able to move that so quickly. So in states like Arizona, we're able to talk to more rural voters more easily and get them to come into a training, get them to come into the fold and into the conversation more completely. And that's just one example of how we're able to do this across the country, right? You can train an Arizona volunteer and they can make calls in Arizona. They can help us get the message out there. But if we've got a special election somewhere, they can help us reach voters in Wisconsin and in California, right? It doesn't matter where it is, but the infrastructure we're able to build has been implemented. And actually, one of our staffers here shared a stat with me that I think is astounding, and the news media does not talk about it. But between June 20th and Election Day on November 8th in 2016, there were approximately 260 national polls that were done. And of those 260 national polls, 16 of them had Donald Trump winning, which means that 94% of the national polls in 2016 between the middle of June and Election Day were wrong. And we know here on the campaign, we've seen it internally. We are very competitive and ahead in all of the key states that we are watching. We know that our message is working and that the media is doing their absolute best to not only cover for Joe Biden, but prop him up with these national polls. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to suppress Trump voters. They're trying to suppress the silent majority, and it's not working. I mean, we saw last weekend, 2 weekends ago when we were in Tulsa, almost 20 million people watched the president speak directly to them. We are able to reach and engage in a way that Joe Biden could never. And that's not even touching his policies. We haven't even begun to unload all of the information we have about Joe Biden's disastrous record. And so now, as we completely turn into the campaign cycle, as we are, you know, going to be the forefront of the conversation moving forward, you will see us just absolutely unload on Joe. And the fun is yet to come, I think.
Yeah, the campaign is still young. So without, you know, diving into too much detail, which I know you can't do, can you tell us about some of the internal polling? Because You know, Aaron, a lot of our listeners, we're getting a lot of emails. I'll tell you, thousands of emails every other day of listeners. And there's a lot of anxiety out there. And I just want to acknowledge that there is a lot of anxiety of people say, are these polls right? Like, what's happening? Can you just give us some confidence of what you're seeing and hearing? I think that would go a long way with our audience.
Absolutely. I can assure your audience that right now, internally, we feel very good about where we are. We feel very strong about how we're connecting with voters, how they are turning out, and that the president is leading and competitive in all of the key battleground states we are watching. And that's the difference. You know, it's really easy. And this is something else, you know, if you just read the chyrons or you watch any of the news networks, you have anything, even if you have it on mute in the background and you just look at it, you would think that I can understand the angst and the anxiety. But if you actually look at it, it's very difficult to do a good poll. It is very difficult and costly to do a good poll. And so they do these cheap polls that are easier to run and get them the information that they think that they want to be able to put out here in the campaign. I'm sitting in the office right now talking to you guys. We know we are in a good spot and we will always run like we're behind. We're never going to take any vote for granted. And we are, like I said, we're just getting started. But internally in our polling in the key states we're watching, we are in very good shape and President Trump is going to win again.
Yeah, and I think that there's a huge effort underway, as you articulated in the media, to try to paint a picture that is so far from what's actually happening. Suppression polls trying to impact the president's fundraising or enthusiasm. And you know, I do think that there's a moment where America is a little bit down right now, understandably, because of lockdowns and the virus. But I think the president's base remains very strong. And I think that you look at the enthusiasm and actually in the polling, if the left wants to play the polling numbers, the polling actually shows that Donald Trump's enthusiasm is off the charts and Joe Biden has next to none. Can you talk about that, Aaron? So I think that's a really interesting crosstab that even if we take the poll seriously, which is questionable at best, there is one part of the polling that actually is in Donald Trump's favor.
Yeah, I saw one of the networks talking about the enthusiasm gap today, and it's almost double for President Trump. His enthusiasm is double that of Joe Biden. And if you look at the primary process, if you look at the votes that have been cast so far in the primary, and you just look, even if you negate every television poll, every fake news media outlet that puts a poll out there, and you just look at people who are showing up in the primary process right now, your base, your most engaged voters, because if you look at it for Joe Biden after he became the presumptive nominee, he's really only at about 55% support in the Democrat Party. And if you look at President Trump, who has run unopposed, he's just out by himself. You know, we know he's going to be the nominee. Everybody's known it from the beginning. He's at 94% support in the party. That is huge. It means not only is his base strong, but it's the strongest it's ever been for any incumbent president ever. Joe Biden has people as of 2 weeks ago who showed up at the polls as Democrats in the primary where they know Joe Biden is going to be the nominee and still are actively choosing to vote against him. That's a huge enthusiasm problem. Yeah, we thought that, you know, Hillary Clinton had issues. She for sure did when it came to support in the party and enthusiasm. But when you actually look at what is out there for Joe Biden in terms of enthusiasm, not only does he not have a strong base to be able to help keep him strong and get his message out there, but how are you going to bring other people into the fold when you had to go so far to the left, so far to the liberal socialist extreme to try and even sell your soul to win your primary, and you still don't have the support of the party to be able to run a general election operation? President Trump's got 94. Joe Biden's barely at 55. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves.
So let's just go state by state. You know, some of the polling that the media is publishing, I don't accept it, but it just seems so skewed. I mean, in Michigan, I mean, give me a break, down 16 points. I refuse to even take that seriously. What states are you guys really focusing on? And a lot of our listeners, Aaron, are 15, 16, 17 years old listening to this, and they've never been through a presidential election. I mean, their earliest memories might be Donald Trump getting inaugurated, but they're really getting engaged and involved. So can you tell us kind of the focus of states that you guys are going to be putting a lot of your resources behind? And again, a lot of our listeners are voters and just becoming voting age for the first time. So we'd love your kind of analysis of how you guys are approaching this campaign.
Absolutely. And one thing I would definitely say to those who are, you know, coming into the fold of the political process and are excited to be here, it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you can absolutely help support. I grew up in the state of New York. And so for me, growing up in Republican politics in New York and being a conservative, I knew my vote wasn't going to mean much back home. But being today, being in 2020, I could be that same kid growing up in New York. I could still be a young, active Republican and want to be part of the movement, but help in states where we need more support to be able to get out the vote. And that means protecting the 2016 map. We remember the 2016 map as one that shattered the mold because nobody thought that Donald Trump would win Wisconsin. Well, he won Wisconsin. He flipped it for sure. That's a state we're going to stay competitive in. And that's a state we're going to hold. So we're going to be looking at states like Wisconsin. We're going to be looking at states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan, Arizona, New Mexico. We're talking about Colorado. We're talking about these states. We're talking about New Hampshire, a state that the president was very competitive in. We're talking about states like, you know, that Midwest section that I just talked about. I mean, there are places all across the country where we want to protect and expand the map as well. And so no matter where you are, there's an opportunity to be involved and engaged at home, where you are in your neighborhood, and in any state across the country where we can help get the president's message out there. That's the fun. That's what's so groundbreaking about this campaign. You could be anywhere at any time and supporting the message and getting it out there.
Yeah. So a lot of our listeners that are emailing us, they're searching for the right words to be able to articulate the president's message, considering all that's happened in our country right now. Aaron, can you help define really what is the president's reelection message? Because, of course, the lockdowns and the virus and all the recent unrest that's happened, it's understandable that, you know, you have to recalibrate and pivot. And that's something that is totally normal. And Joe Biden has no message at all. It's actually really interesting. Joe Biden has the first campaign where I look at his imagery. I go to his website and there is no slogan. It's very interesting, actually. And typically there's a slogan, or at least there's one or two words. And I think Hillary Clinton's was "I'm with her." It's an incredibly narcissistic presidential campaign where Donald Trump was like, "Let's make America great again and keep America great." Can you articulate what is the current message? Because I'm getting a lot of messages about this, and I think our listeners would really benefit from hearing that.
Absolutely. The message remains, make America great again. And you've heard the president give this in a couple of different fashions, right? It's the great American comeback. It's the line that I love that he uses is the best is yet to come, right? It's really this bold projection for the future, because we saw in the first three and a half years of the president's administration, what can be done to make America great, right? He got government out of the way and he cut regulation. You saw business boom. You saw unemployment at record levels. You saw growth. You saw opportunity for every demographic in this country. And then we had to artificially interrupt this economy, the hottest economy ever, to save lives. And so the only person that can bring back the booming Trump economy, who can bring America back to the greatness we just saw, is President Trump. And so you can look at the record. And this is one thing I always want to like encourage people about when it comes to the campaign and getting involved and getting the message out there is, Why do you believe that President Trump can make America great again, right? What is your personal reason for that? And let that be part of your story that you share with people when you talk about this president. I have a very personal reason why I support President Trump, and it's because I had an opioid-related overdose in my family. And he is the only president who's ever stood up to combat the crisis, to make resources available, and to make sure that inpatient treatment was more readily available for those who could not get it on their own. That's a large part of my why I sit in my job and why I am such a vocal supporter of the president. So if anybody's going to make America great again, if anybody's going to do it twice, it's President Trump. We saw what he can do. And find your why, all of your listeners. Is it the economy? Is it national security? Is it foreign relations? Is it standing up to China? Is it the ability to be a free nation, to support the Constitution, to believe in liberty? Whatever your why is, you know there's a spot for you in this campaign and in this movement. And it all fits under the Make America Great Again umbrella. And that's part of what's so brilliant about the president and his strategy and his voice and his unabashed love of this country, is when he said Make America Great Again, that is truly what he delivered. And we had to take the steps to save lives. And we've done that. And the only person who can do it again, I mean, almost 2.5 million jobs in 1 month. That's because of what President Trump did, right? So what's the why? Come join the movement, because truly everybody together can make sure that President Trump gets the opportunity to make America great again.
So there's a growing sense in a lot of the base that we're losing our country and we're losing the icons and the statues in our history. And I feel a lot of anxiety around that. And the president recently has done a great job of signaling out the terrorists that are destroying our cities and being unafraid to hold them accountable through this correct application of the laws we have on the books. So there's a lot of the people that I travel, to and I speak to, they feel that the Republican Party in general hasn't been doing enough, and the president seems like he's fighting alone. Are you guys seeing any changing in what the top issues are amongst voters? What is your polling showing of what the top issues are amongst the target and swing voters in the states like Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Florida? What are the top issues on the voters that are going to determine this election, and how are you messaging to those voters?
Yeah, well, to the point you're making about President Trump really protecting American values and not kneeling to the mob mentality in this country, he's certainly the strongest individual to do that. And right now we're really seeing that people want to know that we're going to get through and come back from this virus. So that means jobs. That means the economy. If you had looked at polling back in January, jobs and the economy weren't in people's top five of issues. Why? Because it was so strong. And so when things are going very strong in the economy at that moment, it's not at the top of their mind because of that. But now because of the coronavirus and the artificial interruption in the economy, people want to know that we're going to get back there, that we're going to have all those jobs available. I mean, we had at one point more than a million more jobs available than job seekers in our country. That's what President Trump built with his economic policy. That's what he built with tax cuts and deregulation and opportunity zones and all of the great work that he did to bring America forward. So those are things that are important to people. And I think that it's always a top issue, and we see that reflected, is healthcare. People want to know that they have someone that's going to allow them to keep the insurance that they have, right? The vast majority of Americans like their private health insurance, like the ability to pick what they have in health insurance. President Trump stepped up and took away the individual mandate where they were forced to subscribe to the government mandate of healthcare. I mean, Joe Biden's got a terrible record to run on when it comes to healthcare. And he has even pretty much self-admitted that Obamacare is a failure because he believes in a government option for healthcare, which means if you really thought Obamacare was working, you would not believe that there needed to be a government option for healthcare and that kind of single payer system would work in this country. So we will still be talking about the economy and healthcare and the greatness of our nation all at once. And those are messages that you'll see go forward. And in the President Trump style of, nobody else is going to be able to do it the way he does it. DC doesn't like the way he does it. The swamp doesn't like the way that he doesn't care about anything other than Americans. And honestly, I think that's one of the things that really gets lost sometimes, is that people don't see past Donald Trump. But what they don't see, if they even looked a little bit further, was that the only thing he cares about is if you're an American at the end of the day. That is his top priority every single day. Doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, blue state, red state, never voted in your life, or you never will. If you're an American, he is fighting for you. And you saw that in his coronavirus response, making sure that Democrat-run states and Republican-run states, whoever needed resources, got them. So we'll be talking economy, jobs, healthcare, and opportunity all the way through, and the president's extraordinary response to the coronavirus.
And we hosted the president a little over a week ago in Phoenix, Arizona. We had 3,000-plus students there. And the parts of the speech that were most warmly received is when the president really just, I would say, pushed the imagination of the audience and talked about we're going to Mars, we created the Space Force, and we did a podcast called Think Big, you know, how Trump can win re-election again. And, you know, I've said publicly, I think the more the president talks about the country that we can be, the better. And so I'm thinking, you know, I really believe that the president is one of the greatest, you know, visionaries in American politics. And the more that he leans into that, the better. And I think that the left, I can't really articulate what Biden is doing or what he's standing for. And I want to ask you about that, Aaron, because you guys have a very good instant response operation at the campaign, one of the best, that is clipping and monitoring what is being said and not said. I didn't watch the Joe Biden press conference. I find it to be unhelpful to me personally, but you know, we have a whole team that does that. Can you just fill us in? What on earth is going on in the Joe Biden camp, or not going on? Because this is, I get questions about this all the time. So if you could bring our audience up to speed on what's happening in Joe Biden for America, I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Joe Biden. He made it actually pretty clear yesterday in his, you know, remarks, which were full of lies. You saw 40 years of D.C. failure standing up at a podium, spreading lies about President Trump, spreading debunked lies about President Trump. And then you saw a complicit media stand there and lob softball after softball question at him after 89 days of not taking a single reporter question, but he made sure to take them from an approved reporter list, right? He wanted to make sure that his handlers knew he was going to stay in the nice little box that they had created for him, because anytime he tries to go and show who Joe Biden actually is, you end up with comments like 120 million Americans died of the coronavirus, or that 150 million Americans have died since 2007 from gun violence. So when Joe Biden gets the opportunity to actually speak, It's an impossible train of thought to follow, because it's never quite a complete sentence. And it was actually, you mentioned our war room, there was a clip that I believe the president tweeted as well of Joe Biden giving an answer and his sign language interpreter just kind of standing there looking confused as to what she was supposed to be signing to people as a translation for what Joe Biden was actively saying. I mean, the media stood there and asked him, you know, how do you think the campaign is going? And how do you think that, do you think the president should be held accountable if this Russia story is true? They were just softball after softball question. You didn't hear one question about General Flynn and the Logan Act. You didn't hear one question about the mobs tearing down statues and the attack on America. You didn't hear any questions about any number of things that have happened in the news in the 89 days. You saw a complicit media just excited to stand in front of Joe Biden. At one point, he said, oh, I got to make sure I take a question from the Wilmington paper. And he called on a Washington Post reporter that anybody in D.C. would know is a Washington Post reporter. It was unbelievable. Joe Biden is a failure for 40 years. And it took President Trump to step into D.C. for 3.5 years to shake everything up, to change it around. And the media not only tries to prop, I said this before, tries to prop Joe Biden up with these failed polls, but they cover for him when they stand in front of him and ask questions. It's unbelievable what we saw. And at one point, like the last question was from a reporter and they asked about his cognitive abilities. And Joe Biden said that he gets tested almost every day on his cognitive abilities and takes a cognitive test every day. So I'm really wondering if any of those reporters followed up today to on their hard-hitting questions to see if he got his daily cognitive ability test.
Yeah, I think that's highly questionable at best. I mean, even Robert Gates, who was the former Secretary of State to the Secretary of Defense for Joe Biden, has even said he's been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision over the last 40 years. So that tells you almost everything you need to know. So in closing here, Aaron, what can people do to get engaged and involved in this campaign? There's a lot of people that want to help. Beyond just giving money, what can they do to help get the president reelected?
That's the great thing about this campaign, is that whatever time you have to share and whatever talent you can share, there's a way for you to be part of the Trump campaign. The first thing I recommend everybody do is either go to the Apple store or the Android store and download the Trump 2020 campaign app. That way you have the campaign in your pocket, giving you live updates all the time of ways to get engaged, of what we're doing, of what we're saying, all the time at your hand. Another way is to make sure that, like, you join our text messaging. text Trump to 88022. It's another great way to make sure you're getting information and staying involved. And if you want more information directly on what different opportunities look like to become part of the team, you can go to armyfortrump.com. We've got information on there about becoming a digital activist on the campaign, about learning how to make phone calls, about helping to step up and become trained to become an election day operation volunteer. And Charlie, you know that Democrats are going to do their absolute best to try and put through 100% mail-in voting, which is absolutely disastrous policy, would mean that every person that sits on a voter roll, which we know is full of people who have moved, who are deceased, who are no longer eligible to vote, all of those people that sit on a voter roll because Democrats regularly don't want those cleaned in states, will receive a ballot, and then you will allow people to go out and select which of those ballots come back in. That's dangerous. You can find out about how to join the election day operations to make sure that we have a free and fair election in this country and that we know we have a valid outcome on election day. There's a ton of ways to be involved in our team and to be part of the Team Trump organization to make sure President Trump and Vice President Pence get four more years. And honestly, whatever ability, however people want to get involved and engaged, there is a way to be part of this movement.
Well said. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining the Charlie Kirk Show, and we want to have you back on throughout the campaign. And to the audience, the message I took away is keep the faith, stay focused, keep working hard, and we're going to deliver a victory. So thanks so much for joining us, Aaron.
Thank you.
You bet. What a great interview that was with Aaron Perini. Thank you guys for listening today. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you can go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved, start a chapter, chip in some money if you can, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Shoot us an email of any questions you have at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We just sent out another 20 signed copies of the MAGA Doctrine, signed New York Times bestseller, The Only Ideas That Will Win the Future. Also, thank you to our monthly donors at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Till next time, God bless.